And thank you for those words. Amen. How wonderful it is to get to hear from our Father. Before we get started, over here on my left, you'll see that these are all maple trees. If you were to guess, which one do you think is the oldest? The bigger one. And it is deceptive because it's in a bigger pot too. But what's interesting about this is all three of these trees are the same age. All of them are put into the same soil. All of them under the same lamp. All of them watered the same. And actually I started with one, and originally I wanted to plant an oak. And when my friend Vera was here, I wanted to plant a tree and have a covenant with Yahweh. I'm making a personal, this tree will be a testimony. The oak never did anything. And so these things were a last second. Hey, there's some, give this a shot. And which one do you think brings me the most joy?
The big ones.
Look at this guy. You should see the other ones. I mean, this leaves or, and trees are, there's Strooms did a teaching on this tree, and here's a sequoia tree. And he says inside that seed is a miniature tree. The whole tree is in there. The whole program.
Yeah.
A microchip, all the information it needs is in there. All it needs is water, time, soil, and sunshine. And but the story with this, and as this got bigger, guess what I did? This one, I repotted it. Do I have any right to do that?
Yeah.
Is that ridiculous for me to even say, who are you to repot that? You should treat all three trees the exact same. Would that make sense? No, it's getting bigger. It's doing something right, and actually, I put in something nice because it really blesses me. And why I asked if I had any right to repot something is because sometimes people, Christians, are going to be repotted into better positions than us.
Oh yeah.
You can't do that. I remember Donna was here doing a teaching and said that Jacob loved Joseph more than his sons. How do you feel? Donald's like, no! Kill that man! You can't love one more than the other. Not unjustifiably, no. No, you should love all your children the same. But if one does everything better, it works harder, it produces more, does a parent, does a God have a right to be more blessed by the one that produces more fruit? Who has more rights than me? I mean, I had a right to repot this. Well, then when Yahweh takes somebody out of the herd and he exalts them, can you imagine David's brothers, the envy? Who do you think this kid is? Look, I know your heart. You're always looking to exalt yourself, David. You come here to see a war. Man, I'm just bringing bread and cheese. Yahweh took him, and it can happen when Yahweh transplants a really fruitful thing. If we're not careful, we're going to envy them and not want them to succeed. That is the genetics of your old man. You got to prune. Say, no, I'm happy for them, and Yahweh will do the same thing for me. And so lessons from the trees. And what's interesting about this is I couldn't believe this one. I'm like, hello, beautiful, look at this. I mean, this thing's not even a salad yet, but I'm excited about it. Did Yahweh know which seed was going to do better?
Sure.
Did I? I had no idea. Does Yahweh know what seeds are going to do better in families? Does he have an idea? And you go, okay, you see things. And it's every once in a while somebody might, it could, even with athletes, sometimes every once in a while you see an athlete, everything's perfect going. They had the perfect interception, they're in the right place at the right time all over again. But now how we're going to apply this to us is, the difference between Yahweh's creation, like plants, does it get a choice? It's programmed. It's all programmed. Yahweh made us in His image. We get freedom of will. And it's up to us whether we produce, whether we bear fruit, whether we glorify our Father. And if we don't, He has every right to be like, I don't even want to look at you anymore. And actually, you should see the pot that never produced anything. Guess where it is?
Garage. Yeah.
It's out in the garage. Are you kidding me? I've been watering and doing this thing. You don't do anything? And our Father, if we're not careful, could do the same thing with us to say, I'm not working on it. Every once in a while, I think, no, you can't give up on me. Who do you think you're talking to? If you straight the voicemail Donald Trump 5 times, he's calling you. And you know when somebody sends you straight to voicemail because it didn't ring, right? Would you expect him to call you the 6th time? How many times should we expect Yahweh? Now, he's going to have more, he's slow to anger more than anybody. He's not long-suffering, he's slow to anger. But how many times is he going to give us opportunities unless we fall down on our knees and say, I'm sorry, give me another shot. I missed it, but I'm ready. I'm ready for this next shot. Turn to Genesis chapter 17.
Elijah, what's in the Bible?
There's 3 right underneath yours. And so I think all of us have been stunted trees at different times. And when we obey the word, I saw something on Facebook today, and it was as if Yahweh changed the word as I read it. It said obedience and holiness. But as I read it, holiness and obedience. But as I read it, it said, holiness is obedience. And I went back and I reread it. Holiness is obedience. So it was olive tree. It was advertising these 2 different things. And no, you think you're holy, then you're obeying the scriptures. I got an advertisement earlier talking about going back to the original text and the importance. And the video was, if you really want to know about our Creator, you must study the oral traditions and the text. Is that what Jesus Christ told Satan? The oral traditions, the rumors that were handed down, you're going to go. But obedience is holiness. Obedience is producing fruit. Obedience is growth. To obey, even if you don't want to. Turn to, we're at Genesis chapter 17. And this, did I say something different?
No, 316.
It's page 46, Genesis chapter 17. And here's Yahweh. This is before he becomes Abram, father of a high place, before he becomes Abraham. And if somebody would read 1-8.
It came to pass that when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am God Almighty. Elohim?
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. Walk thou before me and become thou blameless, that I may set my covenant betwixt me and thee, and may multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God spake with him, saying, As for me, lo, my covenant is with thee. So shalt thou become father of a multitude of nations, and thy name shall no more be called Abram, but thy name shall become Abraham, for father of a multitude of nations have I appointed thee, and I will make thee fruitful exceedingly, and grant thee to be nations. Yea, kings out of thee shall come forth, and thee and thy seed after thee to their generations for an age-abiding covenant, to become to thee a God and to thy seed after thee. And I will give to thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an age-abiding possession, and I will be to them a God.
So here's Yahweh making an age-abiding covenant. Age-abiding means from this point forever, perpetual. That's what Rotherham was age-abiding. Others will say eternity and things. That's not, they don't use the words right. Age-abiding is starting from this point is perpetual. It's going to continue. And he's talking about what? To your seed. Seed. So what we're talking about is seeds. What's the difference between a seed of a tree and a seed of Abram? Freedom of will. Because we had Esau and we had Jacob. We had, but the point of this is really in verse 9. So we know the blessings of Abram and then Abraham. And Yahweh promises us blessings also. Isaiah, would you read verse 9?
Yeah. And God said to Abraham, but as
for right there, what was that word? The big one? The big B. But. Okay, now go ahead.
But as for thee, my covenant must thou keep, thou and thy seed after thee, to their generations.
Okay. Yahweh will do his part. But you got to do your part. And Abram, you got to tell your seeds what they need. Is there a written scripture back then? Not yet. Well, not that we're aware of. Abram could have wrote things down, Abraham. But he was going, you have to tell them, you have to choose. Obedience is holiness. Separate yourself. And what's really neat is when I was a middle son like you, do you know who I envied so much? He was bigger than me. He was taller than me. He was faster than me. He was more popular than me. He was funnier than me. I was insecure. I didn't like him because he always got all the attention. I was so distracted instead of being happy for my older brother. I thought he had for me. I convinced myself he hates me. He did pick on me quite a bit, but the thing is, Yahweh doesn't want me to be like him. I'm my own seed. You do your job. And if you are holy, he'll put desires inside you that are like nobody else's. And it is up to you to cultivate the ground and to feed it and to harvest it. There's a neat parable where Jesus Christ said there's this tree on this property and it's never producing fruit. And finally the owner of the vineyard comes and goes, cut this tree down. We can at least have grass. What's the point of this tree? It's taking up the ground. And the husbandman, the guy came and goes, give me one more year. I'll put manure into it. I'll do all the rest of this stuff. Give me one more year. And he goes, okay, but one more year, we're cutting it down. And what's neat about that is in Galatians, 1 Timothy 2:5, we have a 1 meter between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the husbandman between us and Yahweh.
Yeah.
Withdrawing Melania's benefits. It could be, because he sees our heart. We could be, hey everybody, I love you. Go, I hate them. They pick on me. I don't get my own choices or whatever. And he's looking. And then our Lord and our Savior could be saying, Father, let me work on them one more year. And then when we get a prophecy and somebody comes and says, don't do that. It could be that our mediator's going, hey, my God has every right to transplant, to do all different things. And Jesus Christ goes, that's my Father. You got one more year to start you being you, not being other people. Produce, shoot your roots down, obey, do your thing. What are the desires of your heart? What are they? And then what you do is these desires, you write them down. What are your big dreams? Write them down. Then you go, okay, what does Yahweh want? Like in business, if you're going to do business, what do I want? I really want a new Nintendo, or I want a new whatever. And you're going to go to your parents for something. What are you going to do? Naturally, you're going to find a reason to give them a reason to invest. We should do the same thing with our father. When I was, now here's a story that's picking on me, is when I was younger than you guys, I decided when I become 16, then I'll start taking things serious. Then I'll start really, I'm going to have some fun first. I didn't say it that way. But once I'm 16, got my own car, I'll stop having fun, I'll start taking it serious. Guess what happened when I got 16? Actually, when I'm 18, that's when I'm a real man. Once I become 18, then I'll be done having fun. And what I was doing is I was not producing fruit. I was a tree not producing fruit, doing my own thing. And we get to choose whether we produce fruit for Yahweh or not. And then when I was 18, guess what it was? When I'm 25. And here I was this whole time not producing fruit. Then after I was 25, I was 30. And then it'll keep going on until you put your foot down and say, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I'm going to produce fruit for Yahweh, which is to obey His Word. If you obey His Word, can you imagine my excitement? I'll start praying for this tree. How much better are you than a tree? And Psalms 1:1-5 says, how happy the man has not walked. Psalms 1 talks about us being like a tree planted by streams of living water. He lives upon Yahweh's Word. Yahweh takes care of him. You could be a botanica for our Father. Talking about seeds, though, you get to choose whether you produce anything or not. That's the whole point of this life. You see, this life is an audition for the next life. If you don't take care of, if you're not trustworthy with money here, you're not going to have money there. If you don't, if Yahweh can't trust you with the word here, he's not going to. You're not going to be a teacher there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to turn there real quick. About seeds. What are you going to produce? And there are Christian comedians, Isaiah. They're needed. And to be able to be funny and clean, it's not easy. And it could be that you've been called with a sense of humor, and everybody has a gift, certain gifts. What are your gifts? It was Shaquille O'Neal. I read a thing in a little magazine once. He said it is a parent's job to help their children identify their gifts. And it's the parent's job to help the child come up with a way to give that gift back to his creator. What are you gifted with? Humor. What do you do with it? What are you gifted with? Art. Then you should say, am I using my gifts to glorify our Father or to glorify myself? And then if you ever choose to start using it to glorify Him, guess what's going to happen? You start getting water. This is a regular potting soil. It's got all the nutrients. And Yahweh said, you finally use your gift for me. And I used to think my gifts are for me. Now, somebody with chapter 3, verse 15, somebody read that for me.
And enmity will I put between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Okay, we just pause right there. What is Yahweh, what does it mean, her seed? Anybody can explain, what does that mean?
Descendant.
Her descendant. Somebody's going to come from her. And this wasn't until probably within the last 3 months that I ever read. And who else's seed? The serpent's seed. And I'm not going to come to any conclusions here. But does Yahweh mean literal seeds from the woman?
No.
Really? You don't think Cain and Abel was a literal seed? You don't think Jesus Christ was a literal seed? Yeah. I see. Yeah. So these are literal seeds. So what is the seed of the serpent? It didn't say seed of the serpent, but the serpent seeds. Can he propagate? Can he make babies? It doesn't say. So we don't take one scripture and create a doctrine. But we should say, what is his seed? And it wasn't until I got on my... until I was doing this teaching that I had a possible solution of his seed. Because his seed, Romans 6:16, does anybody know what that 6:16? Romans 6 is your war and my war. You have a war each day when you wake up. It's with your flesh or the Ruach Kodesh. And you can obey the word, Yahweh, and whoever you obey, you're a slave to. Satan and the adversary will encourage you to think, no, I'm my own man. I do whatever I want. No, you're a slave to the adversary if you're a slave to your flesh. And so this is where Romans 6:16, whoever you obey, you are a slave. The Greek word is doulos. Who are you obeying? Because in chapter 4, we have two seeds. One is Cain, one is Abel. Who does Cain... I would say Cain is the seed of the serpent. and he chose. And it's going to be he chose the lust of the flesh like an Esau. And it would appear that Abel was righteous. So he would have been a seed of the woman. But here's these different seeds, whether we obey or we disobey. And we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 3.
Say chapter 3?
Yes, Hebrews 3. What's neat about reading about David, because you ever hear about his brothers again? I really don't, but later on in Chronicles it talks about one of his nephews kills a giant too. So he was somebody that was not distracted by envy. But he rose up and said, I'm going to do what David did. I'm going to do the same thing. And you see why Republicans hate Donald Trump? It's envy. And here were who appeared to be somewhat righteous Republicans until Donald Trump took all. His own son said that here's Donald Trump Jr. He's up at the wall. He said, whenever my father enters a room, he's a vacuum. Everything, it's just who he is. You can imagine that's what happened to the other Republicans. Instead of going, hey, he's doing this right, we're going to help the guy out, they're distracted by envy. But I was going to read Deuteronomy 29. Well, you guys stay there for a second. Deuteronomy 29, 2 through 6. And Moses called unto Israel and said unto them, you yourself saw all that Yahweh did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and to his servants and to all his land, the great provings, and thine own eyes saw those great signs and wonders. Yet hath Yahweh not given unto you a heart to know, or eyes to see, or ears to hear until this day. I led you therefore 40 years in the desert. Your mantle fell not with your age from you, even the sandal fell not with age from off thy foot. Bread ye did not eat. It said, bread ye did not eat, and wine and strong drink ye did not drink, that ye might know that I, Yahweh, was your God. And when ye entered into this place, that's it. So Yahweh did all these things. Why? To know who I am, the wandering. Now, if somebody would start reading Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, we're reading through 4:10. We're going to end, finish here. So I got to volunteer. 3:7 through 4:10.
I can read. So chapter 3, verse 7 through 4, chapter 4, verse 10.
Yes.
Okay. Wherefore, according as saith the Holy Spirit, today, if unto his voice ye would hearken, do not harden your hearts, as in the embitterment in the day of testing in the desert, when your fathers tested by proving and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was sore vexed with this generation, and said, always err they in their heart. Howbeit they learned not my ways, so I swear in mine anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Be taking heed, brethren, lest at any time there shall be in any one of you a wicked heart of unbelief in revolting from a living God, but be exhorting one another on each successive day, while the today is being named, lest any from among you to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For partners of the Christ have we welcome, if at least the beginning of the confidence throughout firm we hold fast. So long as it is said, today, if unto his voice ye would hearken, do not harden your hearts, as in the embitterment. For who, though they heard, caused embitterment? Nay, indeed, did not all who came forth from Egypt through Moses? But with whom was he sore vexed 40 years?
Sore vexed with these people he delivered, okay?
Was it not with them who sinned, whose dead bodies fell in the desert? But unto whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest?
He swore to them, you will not enter into his rest. So let me ask you a question. Who prophesied or said that they were going to go into the land of Canaan? Yahweh. So what happened to them? They forfeited their prophecy. Yahweh can give you a prophecy. You will be married, or you will get this. And if you're not careful, who do we think we are? And this is my own thinking, no, that's a done deal. As long as you produce fruit, you do your job. But these people, for 40 years in the wilderness, what do? They complained. They complained and they complained and they complained and they complained. And Yahweh went, that's it. I'm done. And he has every right to say, into the trash. He can't say that to a Christian. Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You better get down on your knees and beg him not to, and say, if you need to throw me into the dump, throw me into the dump. But I beseech you, I repent. I turn. Do not toss me to the side. I am made of your dirt. I have your breath in my lungs. And so that's how we should be. Who am I that I should be in the presence of you? You created the Milky Ways, the stars, and the moon. We haven't even seen the backside of the moon, have we? He has all that. He has time for me. Father, help me be thankful.
Yeah.
Thankful. They were so focused. We're not in the land of milk and honey. You took us out of the land of milk and honey. That's what they said later on.
Yeah.
We're not in Egypt. And I have been that wicked, bitter person that was so unhappy because I didn't have what I wanted yet. And I have been that. I've been serving you. Where's my thing? I've been so obedient. Where is this thing? And don't you know what happened to me? And I've done that. Not maliciously. But when you look at this and you're not thankful that the creator of the universe is taking time with you?
Yeah.
You're not thankful that he gives you bread every day? Or Melania said, you're not thankful they rescued your life? Especially when you got parents. Oh, they're the enemies, always telling me what to do. You be grateful you got people in your life. Be thankful. Be grateful that he chooses to spend any time and have a heart like David to say, who am I that you would even talk to me? And if you don't feel it, speak it. Faith comes. I don't feel that way. Then get down on your knees and start speaking and compare who you are and who is talking to you. And be reminded that you could die in the desert forfeited. This is the same seed that got what we started off with in Genesis. This seed, they'll have all this stuff unless they forfeit it. You have to choose to shoot your roots down and do what I tell you to do, not what you want to do. Now, if you keep reading. He was sore vexed with them, loath to hear them. Can you imagine you reaching out, asking for help, and I've done this, and Yahweh's going, not that ungrateful, horrible steward. And Jesus Christ, Yehoshua goes, Dad, give Aaron one more chance. Look at Aaron at K-State at a party college full of filth and vulgar nudity. And here's Aaron. He's a friend of fornicators and drug users. And he's read James that says, I hate those people. And Jesus Christ goes, Father, give him a minute. Give me a minute with this guy. And he can intercede to help me. I keep reading.
Verse 19.
Thank you.
And we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief.
And so, and then I'll read the rest. Jesus Christ could not do many mighty works. Why? Their unbelief. What was Christ's desire? Was Christ's desire to exalt himself? No, Yahweh will exalt him. That's his dad's job. You abase yourself. You get down on the ground and kiss the ground. Thank you. I got breath in my lungs. I got legs. I'm feeling sorry for myself at the gym because I got skinny legs. Till a guy walked by with no legs. He had a prosthetic. And then here's another kid in a wheelchair, younger than you, working out his legs. And his legs are that big. And here I am. I'm ungrateful because mine aren't the shape that I want. Okay. Holy moly. Correct myself. But it was Yahweh's desire for them to go in the milk and honey. It was Yahweh's desire for them to have abundance. It was Yahweh's desire, but they couldn't have it. And the question is for all of us, what is he desiring for us? Is it financial success? Is it health? Is it whatever? And he, oh great, what's missing? Their unbelief. And their unbelief, a lot of times our unbelief is because we're looking at the wrong things. We're not getting what I want. Your ministry. You say with your ministry, how many people do you get to see? I don't get to see hardly anything. Neither did Jeremiah at the time. So we should be grateful that you use me for anything. If you use me as a toilet brush, woo! If you use me as a floss pick, all right! If you use me to pick out boogers, okay! Whatever it is, just use me. And then when we start saying that, we start fixing our soil. And guess what happens? We bust up the soil and our roots start growing. And guess what happens to our Father? He's going to say, you're figuring it out. Let us therefore, verse 4, fear lest at any time, although there is left behind a promise of entering into his what? Rest. Have you ever been in your life where you had no rest? I just got to get caught up because I can't get rested. I can never get caught up. I need rest. There could be. If you're chasing your own tail, you're always going to be chasing your own tail until you get down your knees and you choose to be thankful and grateful. You're never going to be resting. You're not going to enter into his rest either. Chase your tail. Who do you think you're talking about? Be grateful. And you choose joy. How Yahweh saved my life, and I think he saved his life too, is sending us to Africa. Showing us joy is a choice. You either produce it or you don't. And what's more beautiful, joy you should do in front of people, or joy with just you, him and you in a closet? In a closet going, I'm thank you for this, and thank you, and you start pouring it out, and pouring it out. It is a choice. You either choose joy or you don't. You choose to produce it. But you could be our Father's favorite employee. That when you show up to work, I love this guy. He's never got a promotion. Nobody ever noticed him. I went to the landfill Tuesday to go dump a couch and some brush. And I got there, I didn't realize it was all muddy. I'm glad I got my four-wheel drive. I'm driving up there, and I didn't have time to do this, but I needed to check this box. When I got to the top of the landfill, you can see all of Wichita. It's the best view in all the whole city, the whole area. And I went to back in my trailer, and this guy's got tattoos everywhere. Teardrops, usually means you've been in prison, you get these tattoos. His whole face is tattooed. He's a bigger dude, big white guy. And he goes, no, you got to turn around. So I back up. I back the thing in. And what does he do? He walks up to my trailer with me. Hey, how you doing? He starts unloading my trailer. I've never had that. Never. And then he grabs a couch. He goes, ready? Throws a couch over. We started unloading all this. And I was like, you know what? I said, this is one heck of a view. And he turned around and goes, yeah, isn't it great? He goes, all people do here is they complain about everything that's wrong. But he goes, I got the best office in the city. I go, you do? My office doesn't have a view like that. He goes, and I said, God bless you. God bless you. That guy, Yahweh is watching him working in a dump. And he's watching me going, oh no, I got a stain on my silk tie. You're ungrateful because you didn't get another six-figure contract. And you're going to go, even if you don't get something, you could be that guy. And I had to thank Yahweh for getting to see him. I lost my place. If you keep reading, enter into his rest of verse 10, please.
Two. For we had delivered to us the joyful message just as even they, but the word which was heard did not profit them. They not having been blended by faith with the things heard. For we who have believed are to enter into the rest, according as he hath said. So I swear in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest.
And we can stop there, but it's going to go back over. Can you imagine Yahweh swearing in his anger about you and I? That guy's never going to rest. You think LeBron James has rest?
Nope.
There's evil, evil people, and there's been in my own life where that I just can't get caught up. You want to enter into Yahweh's rest, you got to be obedient. But if anything, get down on your knees and give him some joy. Produce some fruit. Can you imagine waking up in the morning going, I don't have any joy to give to my dad yet. I feel depressed. I got to fix this right now. You put air in my lungs. My red blood cells work. I don't have any cancer. I can see. I can hear. I live in the best country. I got all fingers. And you start producing fruit for our Father. And as you get started, the Holy Spirit that is inside you will start bearing witness. And all of a sudden, words will start coming out of your mouth that will reprove you, then set you free. We'll prune things. You know, we got to get rid of this crap. No, that's my favorite thing. That is not. That is poison ivy growing around you. And as you do so, you'll start entering his rest, and you could be a tree. Okay, that's it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you for my wonderful, incredible family and for these words. Know, my children, that in each one of you, I have planted seeds. Seeds that you have not watered yet. And in your own mind, you think that you have a great plantation, that you know everything there is about you. But you have erred. For in each one of you are seeds Did you know that in one of the Pharaoh's tombs they found a seeds? They found seeds of the indigenous crops. And those scientists, some of them planted them to see if the seeds still worked, and they did. Thousands of years. Ask yourself, what seeds have not been watered today? And your life will be transformed to the glory of my Father. And as you do so, as you become a botanica, and as you prune yourself like a botanical garden, and you pull off the vines and the poison ivies of the cares of this world and wicked people, so will He give you the desires of your heart.